Welcome to We Are The Watchers.
This is episode 226. Nathaniel, top of the day to you, sir.
Top of the day to you as well, Leah. How are you?
Yeah, really well, thank you. Tom is away at the moment, so we've got Nathaniel back. Although, like, for me, it doesn't feel like you've ever gone anywhere because I see you 5 days a week, but then I realize you're not in the podcast that often.
No, I'm in the other room editing videos.
Yeah, you're the video person and I'm the audio person, but with our powers combined, we do some fun things. And we have. There's been some Watchers videos over.
Yeah. Yeah.
And not for a while.
And you definitely helped me get that crispy, clean audio. You know, I'm not an audio person. I'm visual. But
I'm the complete opposite.
Yeah. What's it called? Power Rangers team up.
Thought you were going to say, I thought you were talking about like the way that people learn things.
Yeah.
Like, do you learn from visual stuff or can you learn listening?
Oh, definitely visual. Visual. Yeah. How about you? Are you auditory at all?
Probably a bit of both, to be honest with you.
Yeah. I think there's three main ones and there's another one and it's like actually touching and
you gotta
feeling stuff.
Get a part of it.
Kinetic? I don't know.
Yeah, probably. For all learning expertise, come to the Watchers.
Greetings, subscribers and members of the Watchersville latest newsletter. This week's edition is brought to you by Comic Sans. It's quirky and fun and does not deserve the hard time everybody gives it. If you don't like the font, just move on and stop making a fuss. Love, Comic Sans. 422 bales of hay have gone missing this week from all around the county. It's not clear who is behind it all and what their motives are, but according to police reports, each and every bale vanished into thin air at the exact same time on the exact same night. Detectives have already questioned the local ghostly spirits and they all have alibis. The aliens who arrived here 24 years ago because, and I quote, like our bread more than the stuff that you get on their planet. They've been unable to provide any helpful information either. The police are out of leads and are a little bit bored with trying to find out the truth. So, if the internet would like to have a crack, the cops are happy to give them all their notes and evidence. Maurice Yates is raising money to have more money. We asked him if he was looking to donate all the dollars he gets and he said no. We suggested that perhaps he's looking to further his education and uni fees being so high he needs a helping hand and he said no. Then we inquired as to whether he's saving up for something cool and he said no. He simply just wants to have more money and would like people to give it to him. At least he's straightforward with his plans. The windmill down the end of Windmill Lane will once again be open to the public. All that's required to enter the newly refurbished and repurposed museum is clogs. Pop a couple of wooden clogs on your feet before you walk inside. If by some chance you don't have a pair, you may rent them from the front counter. But you are asked to BYO socks. That's it for now. Stay safe and happy, all residents of Watchersville.
I've got a silly quiz for you later on that...
Oh, okay.
I'm going to tell you about, but it's an either or, so you'll enjoy doing that.
Yeah.
And we'll probably talk about a fair bit of Star Wars-y stuff because I know that you and
I like Star Wars.
Both like Star Wars, so we'll be able to chat about that. Hopefully not too long. We don't want to, like, go overboard, but we'll go overboard. First off, though, we've got a whole heap of news stories.
Cool.
Thomas contributed one. He sent me a link, and I did see the headline. And I thought, oh, yeah, that's funny, and then forgot completely about it. So I'm glad that he has brought it to us.
Oh, nice.
It is a bloke in Florida. These stories are always in Florida. Why is Florida just a massive state? I don't think it is. I mean, it's big, but it's not.
I don't know.
Texas bigger? But
Texas is pretty large from my understanding of it. But
people always seem to do stuff in Florida.
Yeah, like have you ever like done the game where you Google – your birth date, you say Florida man and then put in your birth date and find out the headline of what a Florida man did on the day that you were born. The one for my birthday was Florida man robs a shop with a crocodile, holding a crocodile. And I'm like, wow.
Classic Florida.
Of course. I'm pretty sure there's like just heaps of crocodiles there.
So if you had like cats or dogs, maybe you wouldn't be able to leave them out in the backyard.
Probably not.
Maybe they have to be like inside pets. Yeah. Or maybe not a dog. Or maybe like those, you know how you can get those netted off areas that you can get for pets? Maybe you have to have one of those.
Yeah, probably.
But then an alligator could just chew through that.
Do you want to hear? Yeah. Yeah, I guess so. But like, would it want to? I don't know. But like, yeah, I've heard like just seen like photos of them like rocking around golf courses and people trying to play golf and they're just rocking around these giant dinosaurs. Do you want to hear a really weird fact about America?
Of course.
I heard this the other day and I actually fact checked it and it actually turned out to be correct. There are more tigers and like, what are they called? Like rare cats.
Oh, yeah.
Kept as pets in America than there are in the wild.
Whoa.
Which is like.
And are they all like Tiger King people? Those kind of people?
I don't know. Maybe.
Maybe.
Like. I think there's just no real laws about what you can have as a pet in Florida. I would love to go there one day and just like go crocodile hunting. That'd be kind of fun.
Go and check out all the golf courses.
Yeah.
That's where you go and find them.
Anyway, so you were talking about, sorry, we got sidetracked by Florida.
Oh, we did, yeah. So all I said was a Florida man, right? Yeah. That's as far as I got.
What happened to, there's so many possibilities. Anything could happen.
Well, it is movie related. This bloke in Florida has watched the latest Spider-Man film, which is Spider-Man No Way Home, 292 times. And it has been recognized by the Guinness World Book of Records as the most amount of times that this film has been watched. But because it's now Guinness World Records stuff, there are specific rules and requirements.
Right.
Or requirements, not requirements, as I just said.
Mm.
So the rules are he had to watch the movie from start to end, no sleeping, couldn't go to the loo during there, right? Like whilst the movie was on.
Right.
He couldn't check his phone during the film and he had to stay through to the credits, which he said he would have done anyway because you know how there's always the post-credit stuff.
Yeah.
He had to hold on to his ticket stubs. That makes sense as proof. And got a statement from the theatre employees confirming that he was there watching it.
I mean, well done, I guess.
Well done. So this is over the course of when it was in the cinemas.
Mm.
So 16th of September to the 15th of March. That equates to 720 hours of sitting in a cinema watching the same film.
I can't imagine that would be worth it.
How much did it cost him?
I don't know. But, like, it's kind of like being a professional scooterer. It's still not cool. Like...
you've done the math, so there's still some checkouts it's being
like,
cool.
Like, I mean, I love Spider-Man. He's the most iconic Marvel character in the world. He's the most liked character of anything. I mean, I don't know if I think I'd get sick of it watching it that many times. I mean, there's lots of Easter eggs and lots of cool things.
But by then you're just reciting it, right?
It's like, it's just painful. Why, like...
You know what's going to happen before it happens.
Yeah.
Obviously. Like,
oh, he's going to do the thing. He's going to do the thing.
Yeah.
I'm ready.
Watch the camera flick. It's just going to go to the left to the right really quick. Did you see it?
Yeah.
Did you see it?
No, I missed it. I have to come back 292 times again. That's pretty keen. I mean, good on him.
It's the kind of amount that kids spend watching films, but they're not always watching them. Like they've got whatever film on, like, I don't know. Frozen or something, but they've walked off, they're playing there.
Yeah.
It's on in the background. This guy had to sit there focused.
Yeah, right. That's pretty keen though. Like I reckon he'd know the whole thing off by heart by now.
Oh, sure.
Because I reckon I watched Finding Nemo enough times as a child to know it off by heart.
When was the last time you watched it?
We were watching it. It was on the background at a party and the noise wasn't on.
Yeah.
But I was saying the words at the same time as what was happening and I'd had a bit to drink and everyone was like, do you know this off by heart? And then I kind of realized, I was like, actually, I think I do. I was like, this is weird.
Because you weren't even like lip reading because they're animated fish.
Yeah, so
it's not even possible.
Yeah.
That's a
great
impressive
movie. I beg to differ though. I think that the editor of Spider-Man No Way Home has watched it more than,
yeah, maybe.
Watched it more, like the amount of times that I edit videos and have to watch them back and over and over and over and over again.
Takes the joy out of them.
Oh, yeah. But
you end up not being able to see. Like, there's no, you it's on, but you can't.
Yeah, you dissociate.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, Spider-Man. That's good, though. That's cool.
That's a good story.
Good on you, Florida man. Yeah. I'm excited to see what he does next.
Well, look out for those crocodiles, I guess.
Yeah, I guess. Well, there's no crocodiles in the movie theater.
That we know of.
That we know of, yeah.
We don't know these things. Mm. Bad news world, Netflix is preparing to crack down on password sharing.
How?
There's a few different ways, right? So, and the reason is their subscriber numbers went down.
Oh, yeah.
So they reckon if they can stop the password sharing, they'll get those people subscribing and then their numbers will go up. But there's always going to be a plateau. There's always going to be a plateau. Anyway, they'll still have people in profiles. So you know how you can have your own profile. But I think from the way I was reading it, it was all like investor. Like it was a statement, a letter to the investors, the shareholders.
Yeah.
It was kind of like, okay, so if you're just sharing – it and then you'll just watch. So if I'm sharing my Netflix profile account with you and you're just watching stuff under my profile, then you're probably going to be the one that has to pay. But if I've gone, all right, I've got my Netflix account, Nathaniel, here's your own personal profile, then you're allowed. Because I think there's different tiers, right, as to how many profiles you can have and how many people can watch at the same time. So I think that will still be allowed.
Yeah.
But it will be the people who are just like, I just watch it under my name, just watch it under my profile. They're the ones who will have to pay.
So that's a stitch up because in my family we've got 7 people. And so, you know, everyone's got it's funny, we've got mum, dad, Poppy, Spencer, Casey, me and my older brother Keegan.
Yeah.
And then so like they've all got their own separate accounts, and then it's Bob Spencer Keegan, but in one account. So we're all going to be out of luck. I think
we're going to be there, but everybody kind of shares. Like, whoever owns the Netflix account in your family, someone else would have the Disney one, and they're like, it's not the same person owning all of them. So you kind of, in a family situation, you're kind of sharing it anyway.
Yeah, exactly. And I don't know. I feel like it just won't work out the way that they want it to work out because people will always find a loophole. I mean, how many times can you actually get blocked from using the same Netflix password?
And also what happens if, for example, I go over to Japan for a holiday and I'm like, I'll just log in here. Do they know that I'm still me or do they go, I know you're a different person?
I think it's the same like internationally, but you actually get access to a whole bunch of different movies, which is cool.
That's cool.
Because Netflix is real cheeky like that. They don't have all their movies up all the time.
Yeah, they come and go,
they like circulate them. Mm. And I think that sucks. I mean, it keeps people interested.
Mm.
But like, why does profit margins always have to go up? Why, can they not just be happy with a consistent flow of media? Yeah. Like if they just chucked everything up there, and then everyone's like, oh, if you want any movie, it's on Netflix, instead of guessing if it's going to be on there or not.
Do you know what I do? I Google the name of the TV show or movie that I want to watch. Then I write Streaming Australia and find out where it is, because otherwise I don't want to spend half an hour looking through them all. It takes forever.
Yeah, although I suppose you spent that much time looking for a movie in the movie shop back in the day.
Yeah,
that was fun, though. That was a lot of fun.
Yeah. Yeah, and you'd walk out of the shop and you'd be like, oh, these are going to be good. Oh,
these are good movies, yeah. Except you paid $8 for a new release and it was like, oof.
But think of the director's commentary.
Yeah.
Or the DVD extras.
Oh, I haven't seen DVD extras in ages. Deleted scenes.
They're not
scenes
even a thing anymore, are they?
I heard that videos are making a comeback.
Actual video videos,
yeah.
Why?
I don't know. Like, I think like the I think people just like retro things. Like people like record players and Walkmans and stuff like that. But I've heard that the Star Wars series on video is very expensive.
I reckon that is because that would be pre-George Lucas adding extra things in, right? So it would be the original.
Yeah, I think that's why, especially episode 3 for some reason. Apparently it's like I looked it up, we found it on eBay. It's very expensive.
Yeah, right.
It's weird.
That is weird. I'm sure they'll find a way for you to pay extra for it regardless.
Of course. I mean, you can't hook up they didn't have HDMI cables on a video player.
No, they had those stereo, didn't they? Yeah. What were they? The AV one? There were like three different cords, right?
Yeah, yeah. The
or cables.
The three horsemen of deception. You know how like the play, because PlayStation was different to a DVD player, and a DVD player was different to a video player. So it was just like, which one is it? Like it was.
Yeah.
It was yellow, red, white, yellow, red, yellow, red. Yellow, white, red. I don't know. There's so many different combinations, and you had to try them all out before you finally got them all out,
or get someone in your family who you reckon was good at it.
That was me.
When really that was me.
Yeah.
When really all you're doing is just giving it a crack.
Yeah. Turn it off and on again.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
And then you probably didn't rewind the videotape from the beginning. Yeah, so that's probably why.
That was it.
Yeah.
Got to put it in. Yeah. I've also heard that the old school TVs that we all had to get rid of because they weren't digital.
Yeah.
They're like really cool to get a hold of now to play old video games like your Nintendo whatever.
Yeah.
And I just think that's hilarious because 10 years ago they were all on council cleanup piles.
Yeah, yeah. Well, there's a lot in like shops now used to like display things in like a funky sort of retro
way.
So
cool, yeah. It's like being in Back to the Future.
Back to the Future.
Yeah.
Like what, yeah. Flat screen. Yeah. Flat screen TVs. Like I haven't seen a thick TV in a while. Like imagine kids growing up these days. They're not going to believe it. Like this thing used to look like a brick.
Massive tube inside.
Yeah.
Yeah. Bizarre, right?
I once smashed a TV, like the glass of a TV with a brick.
Oh, like on purpose?
Yeah, I was a very reckless child, but like it's thick glass. Like it is crazy thick. Like we're talking like 15, 20 centimeters thick. Like it was not easy to break.
But with your resilience and your drive, yes. You managed to do it.
Yes. I think, can't remember if we used a brick or an axe, but it was... Yeah.
Kids, right? Childhood.
Yeah, well, that's it. We don't have council cleanup in New Zealand, so we just found them and we were like, I guess they're asking to be smashed.
No one wants them.
Yeah, well, silly things.
Hey, things that people do want is another Star Wars game. There's a lot of Star Wars games in production at the moment because Lucasfilm Games, I should say, has now got like they're in charge again instead of EA. Which is
good
because EA had 10 years to make as many Star Wars films as they wanted, games as they wanted to, and I think they only made about 4, something like that.
Yeah, well, because I'm pretty sure that the only Star Wars games that I've ever played were like The Force Unleashed, and I'm pretty sure that was an EA game.
Maybe,
or it might have been
older. That might have been back in Lucas, when Lucas like, had them again, like before.
Yeah.
Before they took that away. But EA had this great game that was being produced by Amy Hennig. Now, Amy Hennig was the writer, and I think she might have been director, or at least the writer of the first few Uncharted games, so like Indiana Jones kind of, you know, adventure games. And then she was going to make a Star Wars game like that. It was called Ragtag. So it was like about, you know, a bunch of ragtag tag team and cool. whatnot. And EA ditched it, and people who actually saw a bit of it or read the script were like, it was really good. We all should be gutted that it wasn't made. So now she's back again making a Star Wars game. It's going to be another action adventure. It won't be Ragtag, but she'll be making it for Lucasfilm themselves.
That's cool.
And I'm so excited because she said, I've often described seeing Star Wars, the 1977 version, well, the one in 1977. She said, it essentially rewired my 12-year-old brain, shaping my creative life and my future incredibly. So for her, that was like the spark of where she's gone on to. And it's so great that she can come back and be like a proper part of Star Wars.
That's awesome.
So don't expect that to be anytime soon, but no. It's in the works.
Although that's just as a side example of how great making something and then scratching it and then coming back to it can be. I've heard amazing, amazing reviews about the new Lego Star Wars game.
Oh, yeah.
And, like, because I, you know, back in the day you could play it on PlayStation 2. I had it on PlayStation Portable, one of those little PSP
things. Oh, yeah, I remember those. Cool. Yeah.
But you could only get the original saga or the – what you could either get 1, 2, and 3 or 4, 5, and 6.
And this one's got all of them,
this one's
right?
got all of them, and it's got fresh animation – and like it tells like a story, like tells the story in a very childish, fun sort of way. But like it's also Lego as well.
Yeah,
so
Lego.
It's like it's so cool. Like it's so funny. Like you see, like I've seen a lot of like gamers on YouTube and just social media and stuff. Like you know, 40, 30 year olds, like people like my age, even like 25, 23.
Yeah.
Like playing this game that we used to play as kids, just for the nostalgia trip.
Nostalgia, so strong. Yeah,
it's good. I've heard lots of good things.
I think Tom got that. I'll be interested to see how he enjoyed it.
I want to play it. It's like one of those games you can kind of play forever, but you can actually complete, and it's really good when you. It's really cool when you do.
Yeah,
it's
you feel accomplished and feel like you've had a really good time.
Absolutely, and then you can go play with your Star Wars Lego afterwards, and it's like
many options.
I'm consumed by. Like I don't necessarily like all the Star Wars movies. Like,
but you don't have to.
Exactly. I like the franchise around it, like all the machines, all the aliens, all the possibilities. I like the franchise
it
and the
does
designs.
It feel limitless, doesn't it? In what they can do. Like it doesn't have to just be about Jedis or Skywalker. There's a whole galaxy there for them to tap into. It's exciting.
Could you imagine if they ever crossed over, like if Disney really bought everything? And they did like this wacky like mashup where like, you know, Marvel crosses over with Star Wars or something. Like they just come across this planet.
It's like the Guardians of the Galaxy ship just flies by in the background.
It'd be like fantastic.
Some sort of Star Wars battle.
Yeah.
What if they end up buying Star Trek? And then those two worlds are.
Whoa.
Yeah.
That'd be kind of cool.
That'd be cool, but there would be people up in arms as well.
Oh yeah, yeah. The people would riot.
Yeah, it'd be a dangerous thing to be out on the streets, or at least Twitter during and Reddit.
Oh.
One of our last news stories. We've also got a trailer as well, but is that a show that both you and I really like, Love, Death and Robots? Volume 3, or you know, season 3, is coming out to Netflix. They've got an actual release date, 20th of May. So not far off.
20th of May.
Yeah,
that's cool.
It's about a month away.
And Obi-Wan Kenobi comes out just before that.
Oh, yeah. We got some proper watching going on around that time. But what you'll be interested in is that the Deadpool director, Tim Miller, is back as executive producer for this.
Yeah.
And you got David Fincher in there as well as executive producer. So you got a lot of people who know what they want these different stories to
portray.
Portray, because they're all really different, aren't they?
Yeah, they are. It's kind of like the Star Wars eclipse. Is it Eclipse or like
with the Japanese
what were they
anime?
That was cool. I really enjoyed
that was really
Star
good
Wars
too.
Stories or something like that.
Let me look it up.
Spark. I don't know what it was. It was cool though, and like the fact that I feel like Love, Death, Robots is a little bit similar to that. Like they've got a whole bunch of different independent creators creating a whole bunch of different things and
different
stories.
Things and
legends.
Legends. That's it.
Yeah. And then, like, it is probably good to have, you know, the Deadpool director, like, sort of funneling it in, making it work. And I just love how they're just completely different stories that don't match anything. It's
at
just
all.
Like a miniature movie. So if you've got, like, you know, if you're sitting on a train, you've got a spare 12 minutes, oddly specific, you can watch, like, any episode of Love, Death, Robots. And it's just like, whoa. It's like a miniature animated Black Mirror. That's like
some of them are very Black Mirror-y.
Yeah.
Others just wash over you like, huh, yeah, that was good.
Okay.
And then others, you know, like I think I watched the second season a year ago, maybe more, and I still think about them.
Yeah.
Like, oh, yeah, remember that? Oh, that was a weird world that they set up.
Yeah.
That'd be hard. Yeah. Some really stay with you.
Interesting animations as well. Really, yeah. Really talented. I like it. I'd love to work on a project like that. That'd be so much fun. Yeah,
that'd be really cool. Yeah. A lot of famous voice actors and actors in there as well. It's really good. Now, we've got a trailer to unpack. We've both watched Thor, Love and Thunder. This is the first trailer. I don't think there's been another one. It was the very first one. What a nice, fun. Like, I don't think I saw Thor not smiling.
Yeah, he was very zen, looking like, you know, like he's fixing himself a lot, which is cool because he's been quite sad. And
he's been pretty sad.
He's had a rough go of it, hasn't he?
Oh, yeah, Thor. Of course. But the vibes were there. Like, you've got the proper 80s vibes in it. You've got Guns N' Roses as the music that's going throughout the whole entire trailer. You've got Guardians of the Galaxy, which, of course, you know, big 80s musical soundtracks in those as well. So, and the colors are really vibrant, bright, happy.
As a, like, you look at Thor, the Dark World, and like
night and day, literally
the old Thor movies, it's wildly different. And so, is this the fourth? This is the fifth Thor movie
because. This is only the second one Taika's directed, right?
Yeah. Yeah. But you can tell, can't you?
Oh, yeah.
The colors, even just the color schemes is beautifully different.
Yeah.
And it's a lot more exciting to watch. Like, I don't even think I've seen some of the Thors. I watched Thor the Dark World, it's just a lot.
Yeah.
It was just too dark, too long. And
he's always had an interesting accent, Thor, in these Marvel movies.
Yeah.
I feel like it's changed a bit. But in this trailer, it's kind of a real mixture of Australian English and a bit American.
Yeah.
It's like, I'm going to do a bit of everything.
Yeah. I suppose that's probably where he's been as well.
Yeah, so, true.
Where the actual actor's been. So that's cool. But no, I'm so excited for it. And it's actually interesting. I would like, because everyone's been wondering where the Thor Love and Thunder trailer has been, because apparently this is the release date of it is the closest Marvel has ever got to a release date before they released the movie, the trailer.
Why?
I reckon it's because, like, you know how you watch the trailer and it's kind of like, wow, that made no sense.
Yeah, but I love it. It's just a whole heap of fun.
It looks so good. Yeah. Like,
there's going to be something dark in there, but we didn't get that in
I reckon I know what it is.
Oh, really? Do you want to throw a theory out there?
Gore the God Butcher. So, like, if you haven't seen the trailer, go watch it now, pause it. But I reckon there was one scene in there where, like, you could see that Zeus and stuff.
Yeah, like you saw him from the back.
Yeah. So, like, you see, like, Zeus and, like, all these other so-called powerful-looking people. I reckon that's going to be brought in as like a facade sort of thing. Cause you know, how Taika Waititi, like Thor's mates like got slaughtered by Hela in like 30 seconds. And you know, Taika Waititi is not scared to do that. So I reckon like that's going to be like the opening act. Like everyone's like, oh yeah, look at all these powerful people, la di da di da. And then boom, Gore the God Butcher, see you later. Because Gore the God Butcher comes from the planet, from the first planet that the Eternals destroyed, in the comics anyway.
Yeah.
So it could be interesting. So I think they're going to go on a bit of an adventure through there.
At the end, we saw who's holding the hammer, which is no surprise because that's when they announced that this film was getting made. That's exactly who they said was coming in as that character. Yeah. I don't want to give too much about it, but I mean, if you know, you know. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But
yeah,
it was still pretty good to see them, you know,
looking
badass
cool.
And stuff. Yeah.
I don't quite understand how she got the power, but that'll be interesting to see how that.
I'm sure we'll learn.
Yeah.
Sure we'll figure it out. Yeah, so, is Russell Crowe, was that him?
I think it might have been.
I think it might have been Russell, right?
Yeah.
Because I think he was working on the film.
Good to see some more. Is he Australian? Is he a Kiwi?
He was Australian, born in New Zealand, but I'm pretty sure he's got the passport, the Aussie passport.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Fair enough. Yeah, cool.
Yeah.
Because one of my favorite things is seeing the little throwouts to little countries like, well, not little countries, but little countries like Australia and New Zealand.
Yeah.
They have a smaller show of cultural things, like,
and only we would get it.
Oh yeah, yeah. Like Korg, the rock monster.
He's so good. Yeah, like he really guys, puts the accent on, doesn't
we're
he?
We're gonna go kill some aliens now. It'd be really good.
Also, Meek was wearing a suit. Did you see that?
Oh, yeah, that's right. What's all that about? We need to know what that. We need to know behind it. Yeah, that's the story.
But like in Thor Ragnarok, all the spaceships were the color scheme of the Aboriginal and New Zealand and Maori flags.
Cool.
Which were really cool. So like when I saw that, I was like, "Yo, I know that's those. I know those colors. I know how they fit into this. That's cool."
Yeah, right.
So Taika's really, or whoever is working on the product. What is it called? Creative production side of that.
Yeah, nice. Really, yeah. Really put some thought behind everything.
Yeah, it's cool. Awesome. I rate it highly. Also, like there was in the trailer, I noticed there was like a scene where they're all sitting at a table and like, you know, it looked like an international thing.
Yeah.
And there was a New Zealand flag on there.
Oh, I didn't even see it.
And I was like, I noticed it and I was like, I know what that flag is. It's like the Australian flag, but with red stars.
And one, it doesn't have the big star.
Yeah. But like, you know how like in like apocalypse movies and stuff when they're showing like the decimation of the world and there's like nothing's ever getting New Zealand. It's good for us.
You're going to be great. Yeah, you're going to be
like,
fine.
Sometimes they're not even on the map and I'm just like, oh.
How do you not put it on the map? It's like, but yet they put Tasmania on the map.
Yeah.
Oops.
Yeah.
It's the whole thing. I think I'm going to have to go and watch that trailer a couple more times because you noticed more than I did.
It was pretty cool. Yeah. I enjoyed it.
Yeah.
But just real quick, I reckon the reason that they've brought it out so late, close to the movie.
Yeah.
And that the reason that the trailer was so jumbled up and didn't really show many things, I reckon Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness.
That makes sense.
May have something to do with something in there.
Yeah.
Like
right.
The reason that Jane Foster is Thor could be like a reality swap or something like that, or a timeline branch or something weird or something. I don't know.
Loki could be involved somehow.
Yeah. I want to see Loki. I also want to see Beta Ray Bill. It'd be great.
Oh, yeah.
Like a big mashup of just all the Thor comics. That'd be cool. But yeah, maybe that's the reason, like, you know.
That's a good point, actually.
The end of Multiverse of Madness could leave everything better or probably most likely worse off than it is, sort of opening everything up to be like, oh, this is craziness.
And Thor might just be living in blissful ignorance, like he knows but he doesn't want to know.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. He's just living in his his timeline, I guess. But he's doing well. I'm glad to see Thor smiling again.
He's very smiley in that trailer. We're going to have some watching suggestions. I reckon. Are you ready? You feel ready?
Yeah.
All right. Let's get into it.
Got a watching suggestion? Email thewatcherspodcast@gmail.com.
All right, Nathaniel, it's time for us to get into some watching suggestions. Are you excited?
Very excited. I'm always excited.
Because I know that, like, you do a lot of adventuring and stuff when you get free time, but everybody needs to sit back and just watch some stuff.
Oh, 100%. Yeah, we just got back from this Cami trip, and me and my friend, we always talk, like, every time after an episode of The Mandalorian or Star Wars or anything like that, we always give each other a call and chat about it. And we were gutted that we just missed, you know, Doctor Strange coming out and also Obi-Wan. Mm-hmm. We were a bit gutted that we didn't get to see those together, but they're coming up very soon and I'm very, very excited for those in particular.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to Obi-Wan, and I think it's mainly because, like, it's a character that we know really well, and we're doing stuff with other characters that we know really well, but it's Ewan McGregor.
Oh, it could have only ever been Ewan McGregor. If it wasn't Ewan McGregor, the Star Wars fans would have just lost the plot completely, I think. So
totally.
Yeah, I mean, he had to return, and I think it's about time that he gets his own story because it's all very focused on the Skywalker side of things, but you know, Obi-Wan is he's the OG. He's undefeatable, and he is the most zen badass dude in Star Wars without a doubt.
It's so funny because he Yoda are probably the two that were around during several Skywalker generations and actually physically and emotionally, spiritually helping them.
Yeah.
Or trying to.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, he's just hands down the best character, and he's so sassy as well. Mm. Like, oh, it's just fantastic. Like, who decides to take on a four-armed cyborg and just jump into the arena and just say hello there? Like,
that's true.
Who does that?
Nobody does it.
War tactics, Obi-Wan style. It's just like it's fantastic. Yeah, I'm very, very excited.
I really love the fact that he. Like during those prequels and this, he's adopted Alec Guinness's voice.
Yeah.
It just like, that's not even a thing that he even thought about. He's just like, I'm doing it.
Yeah.
It's got a lot of respect behind it, not only behind Sir Alec Guinness, but also the fans as well who want that sort of, we want everything to beautifully synergize itself. I made a new word up.
And it is great because it's been, I don't know how many years, but like, you know, in the first, The Phantom Menace, he was very young. So we've like, we've not only seen his character grow, but like his actual actor age as well. So it actually like sort of syncs up quite perfectly. I've also heard that there is a return of Hayden Christensen as well. So that there's going to be that long awaited, hopefully a finale of them having another rematch or something like that. I think that'd be ridiculous. Or I reckon Ahsoka might see him as well.
Surely she's got to be in it, right?
Well, she just rocked up in the middle of The Mandalorian. In the middle of Boba Fett for no real reason. It was just, she just sort of stood there looking wise and stuff and then did nothing else. And then, you know, like because if no one watched The Mandalorian, they wouldn't know about her. So I feel that's why they brought her back, just to be like, oh, yeah, by the way.
Yeah, don't forget.
She might show up again and you might be confused. So, yeah.
This is a gentle reminder. Yeah, I think you're right. Speaking of Boba Fett, it's been a month or two now, and I feel like people either now love it or hate it. Which boat are you in?
So I've had a little bit of time to reflect on the book of Boba Fett, and whilst I just loved the hype around it, like watching each episode, I was just excited to like, you know, finish the day and go home and watch Boba Fett.
Yeah.
And like, it was always exciting, but now looking back at it, it's sort of like, wow, that really had zero structure at all. Like it was
wild, wasn't it? Like, I don't understand what they were doing.
Yeah. I don't think they did either because like at the beginning, I don't know if should I spoil this? Should we say spoiler
maybe,
warning?
Yeah, maybe spoilers for this one because I feel like we need to talk about it to explain why it was so strange. Yeah,
so if you haven't seen Boba Fett, spoiler warning ahead. But basically in the first few episodes, he's like Boba Fett's talking about ruling with respect.
Yeah.
And then in the last episode, he's literally using fear tactics of riding a rancor through the city, destroying everything, being like, you know, that is ruling out of fear, not respect. So completely contradicting what he said in the beginning, which, you know, I don't know if that's a character arc. I don't know. I thought he was supposed to be this ruthless.
It didn't feel like a character arc, though. It just felt like they were like, oh, maybe this will be good for the finale. It'll look good.
I mean, yeah, absolutely. I think it, like, if he really wanted to rule out of respect, he could have just, like, buzzed up his, you know, his Slave One or the Fire Spray as they've renamed it because, you know, they'd use the word slave anymore.
Oh, yeah, right. Okay.
But, like, you know, that could have been really cool to, like, have him walking, like, you know, him, Boba Fett just walking by himself with the Slave One above him just buzzing behind and, like going on to take on the pikes by himself. That'd be pretty badass. And
that's a good ending.
And then, you know, if they did bring in a future reinstallment of season two, once the Rancor's grown a bit because it seemed to be a baby Rancor when we first saw it.
Yeah.
So, like, at the end of season two, we could get, like, that reveal and it would be like, whoa.
Yeah.
That's been building for a while. That was awesome. I love that.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, I could have spoken to you about it. And what do you reckon about the what were they called? The mods?
The mods? Nah, waste of time. Like, that, I don't know what they were up to. I think they're just to represent the
people,
I guess. Like,
yeah, we're behind you.
What were they? They were like emos. Colorful emos.
Yeah, the colors were so not in keeping with Star Wars either. I think that, nah, like, even just visually, it was jarring.
Especially Tatooine. Like, mm-hmm. Tatooine's like a barren wasteland. Yeah. They're driving around, like, colorful rainbow scooters that didn't even really go that fast. I feel like if they really wanted to have an input, they could have, like, you know, they were all, like, held down at the in the last episode. And, yeah, like, they had to wait for Boba Fett to come and save them. Which is great, I guess. But, like, it would have been cool if the Mandalorian had figured a way to open the shield and then one of the mods, you know, being a mod, thinking that they can control.
Yeah, do a bit of hacking.
Hacking. They could hack the the robot that was attacking them, and then they've got that as a sentry guard that now works for them. You know, that would work
Trying to defeat both of them in slightly different ways.
Yeah, like, yeah, actually use it. Yeah, I don't know. And then, like, halfway through the season, they were, like, talking about spice, which I imagine is a drug, which I think they just ripped off from Dune.
Exactly like Dune, right?
Yeah. And, like, they were, like, suddenly they were, like, spice has no place here. And it was, like, wait, what? What is spice? Like, if you haven't seen Han Solo, you have no idea what that is.
And I had seen Han Solo and I didn't remember what that was.
Yeah, I mean, it was a little bit... It was a little bit much. Like, I think they were just trying to cram too much into
ideas and not...
Yeah. I mean, there was all the iconic shots that we needed to see, like Boba Fett crawling out of the Sarlacc pit and, you know, killing Jabba and all those other things. Like, there's lots of good things that were interesting to see, but I don't know. It's kind of like the Mandalorian, like, in the first few episodes. Like, he kind of sucks. Like,
and also, you know, yeah, like we've got the Mandalorian. So, did the Mandalorian take Boba Fett's storyline? Could that have been who Boba Fett could have been?
See, I feel like Boba Fett is supposed to be this badass vigilante,
bounty
hunter.
Yeah,
bounty hunter. And the Mandalorian is like this guy who follows a religion.
Yeah,
Bantha fodder, as they would say. And I don't know. It's confusing because, you know, they've kind of got the same, maybe they're just setting up for, like, them to work together in the future something like that. I'm not sure.
Yeah. I reckon we'll see him in season 3 of The Mandalorian. We have to.
He's got to have 2 episodes for himself.
Just randomly. he's owed them.
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah, that was bizarre. Anyway, but Boba Fett, but really looking forward to Obi-Wan.
Follow The Watchers on Twitter at TheWatchersPod1.
We were speaking off mic about a week ago. A couple of weeks now, you went and saw The Batman. And I know Tom's spoken about it, but I really liked your take on it. So I wanted to ask you what you thought.
So, yeah, I don't know. It was okay. It was very dark. Like, I mean, admittedly, I was seeing it at an outdoor cinema. So the coolest thing about it was there was actually, like we're in Australia here, so there was bats, literal bats, like, flying past the screen.
Yeah, right.
And then, like, there was, like, a big scene with some explosion or something. Yeah. The car chase scene, that was my favorite.
That was
so good. Yeah, and, like, because it wasn't, like, this big tanked up Batmobile thing that was just like military grade. It was like a done up muscle car, and I was as someone that's fixing up cars myself, I was like, yep,
that's something you would make.
Very nice. And I noticed that all the scenes were actually shot in a way that made it look like you were the one being chased by the car. Like, every single scene was framed in a way that it was looking back through the mirror, and then it was framed upside down afterwards, like Batman hanging from the roof of, like, I don't know, I don't want to, I can't say it without ruining it.
But that's interesting though. So they were obviously taking the approach of making the Batman part of the audience, or the audience part of the Batman, or vice versa.
Yeah, I think so. Like, the only thing that I can really say about it is the cinematography, and it was fantastic. And so during that car chase scene as well, it was quite cool because these police sirens went past in the background of the actual cinema. So, like, it was quite immersive from the way that I saw it. But
it a drive-in?
It was a drive-in, yeah.
I've never been to one.
Neither. That was my first time. It was quite cool. But, yeah, it was, like, the music played through the radio of the car. So okay. It was like surround sound almost because so you could if, hear so it in was, other cars as well.
So it was just the music that was, or was it the whole?
Oh, the whole audio and everything. It was good. It was a long movie. It was a dark movie. Like not in like a, oh, that was dark. It was like actually physically dark. Like I couldn't see anything. I was like looking for the clues and stuff and being like, what even is that? I don't know. Like,
so kind of like that episode in Game of Thrones, that final season.
Yeah.
Where you're like, what's happening?
Yeah.
Is that Arya Stark? What's going on?
Yeah. So, I mean.
Do you reckon there'll be another one and do you reckon you'll go watch it?
No, I'm never going to see another DC movie again.
That was it? Did that do it?
Or I mean, I'll watch it when it comes out on like Netflix or wherever the DC movies come out these days. But like, I'm never paying for another DC movie at the movies again. I said that at Suicide Squad after the first one, and I made the mistake with going to see Batman vs Superman, then I went to see this one again just because it was an outdoor cinema, and I was like, okay, well, whatever, we'll give it one more chance, and now I'm. That's the third strike. I'm out.
You're out.
Like this Batman, the acting was great. The cinematography was amazing. They had the same guy that did the hallway scene from Rogue One with Darth Vader killing all the rebels. And you saw that in the scene where like the only light in the scene was the flash of the gun where Batman was fighting in that hallway. So they got the same guy back to do that. So I was loving the cinematography. I was loving the car. And Robert Pattinson was great as well, but he didn't really do anything. I think he would have had more power over Gotham City if he was acting as Bruce Wayne.
Yeah, right.
Like, you know, it didn't really come to an amazing conclusion. Like he could have dressed, he could have like, you know, done the Bruce Wayne part and had more impact over the community that he's in by making sure that his dad's money went to where it needed to go, which is what the, you know, the bad guy was trying to figure out. And in the end, the bad guy ended up succeeding. And it was kind of like, well, what?
Well, so was the bad guy the good guy in the end?
Well, maybe.
Is that what they wanted you to think?
I don't know. I just feel like they need to stop remaking the Batman over and over and over again. Like there's so many amazing DC characters.
Yeah, you want them to delve into somebody else.
Well, they have to. Like, it's getting, like...
People love Batman, though. They love him.
I don't know why. He doesn't even have any powers. He doesn't, like...
he's us, man.
Do you think that's why?
I think maybe, yeah. Although he's a very rich version of us, so... Yeah.
I've heard that that's why people like Spider-Man the most, because he's covered head to toe, and so he could actually be the physical embodiment of anyone, which is the same as Batman, but I suppose, like... You have to talk like this.
And it hurts your voice. You just don't want to do it. I watched Ocean's 8. Have you seen any of the Ocean's movies? Those sort of casino heists?
I think it's Ocean's 11 one.
Yeah.
I don't know. That rings a bell. Is that a TV show?
No, they were movies. So there was Ocean's 11, then Ocean's 12, and there were heaps of actors. Like, I'm talking... I think Brad Pitt's in it. You've got George Clooney, Julia Roberts, like a whole heap of people. Anyway, they did one maybe about 5 years ago now called Ocean's 8, but it's all women. And the premise is that Sandra Bullock plays George Clooney's sister and she's just gotten out of jail and she's going to do a bit of a heist. And you've got Anne Hathaway, Awkwafina, who's always really good in everything, I reckon.
Mm-hmm.
Kate Blanchett's in it. And in the beginning, I was like, oh, yeah, I'll give it a go. You know, like I said, it's an afternoon.
Yeah. Have you seen it before? Or?
I've never seen it before, but I'd seen the other two.
Right.
And I was just watching it. And then maybe about halfway through, it starts to kick in. And it has all those elements of those original Oceans movies where they tell you the story and you're like, oh, yeah, okay, so this is where it's going to go. But they don't tell you about the little bits of information that are...
Yeah, sure.
And it's really cool. So all of a sudden, like towards the end of the movie, they'll show you, the reason this happened was because this person managed to do this whilst you and the person who was getting robbed wasn't looking.
Right.
You're like, oh, that's really cool. Genius.
So it's like, does it follow the structure of a heist movie?
Oh, it's 100% heist movie.
Yeah.
It's good fun. It's a good fun movie. I don't know why it wasn't as popular as the original two were. Maybe just because there was apart from maybe one cameo. Actually, I think there were two cameos from original cast members. Maybe people wanted the Brad Pitt and the George Clooney in there. I don't know. I thought it was fun.
So with the ocean, I haven't seen any of these. So does it go Oceans? Does it start at Oceans 1?
Nah, Ocean's 11, then Ocean's 12, because it's the amount of people involved in the heist.
Okay.
So Danny Ocean is George Clooney.
Sure.
And he had his 11 people. And then the next one he had 12 people. And then Ocean's, because she is, Sandra Bullock is his sister, so it's her group of eight.
Right, but it's not a prequel.
No, it's actually the third in the series.
Right, so it's Ocean's 11, 12.
Yeah,
eight.
It's confusing, right? Okay. Yeah. I hope they do make some more movies, because those kind of heist movies, when done well, are really, really fun.
Yeah,
really
absolutely.
Fun to watch.
Have you ever seen The Man from U.N.C.L.E.?
Oh, is that the one with Henry Cavill?
Does yes.
I haven't seen it. I always intend to.
It's really, really
is it
good.
Worth it?
It's okay. I really, really enjoyed that. Whoever edited that movie is a god.
Like, genius.
They
are
so good. Like, they packed in, I think it's like it's maybe a little bit longer than 2 hours, but they packed so much into that, like just through the editing and stuff. Like, there's like a whole... there's like a heist sequence in it almost.
Fun.
And like, I think they must have just run out of time or something and didn't have time to show the entire sequence. So they just show like eight panels of them just taking over everything, because like they've run out of time to show it in detail. So they're just like, here, look at this. Bang,
here's
bang,
a montage.
Bang, bang, bang. And then like suddenly they're like they're outside this facility that they're trying to get to. They're trying to get something. And then they like literally 2 minutes later, they're in cars escaping, and it's like, oh wow, that was successful.
That happened.
Well done. But like, it kind of followed the heist structure of a movie, but then it also
put its own twist.
Yeah, it was like a very spy espionage cheeky,
fun.
And it was also like quite comedic and slightly romantic. So it really covered all.
That would be a fun one to go and see at the movies.
Definitely.
I should do that.
I would watch that again in a heartbeat. That's one of my favourite movies, I'd say.
Yeah, nice. Well, there is a long weekend coming up, so these suggestions could be watched over the long weekend. I've also got a quick card game suggestion for you.
Yeah.
There's a game called Jaipur.
Jaipur.
As in, you know, the place. And it's a really easy two-player card game.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't take up a lot of space, so you could do it when you're camping or whatnot. And it's the best of three rounds, and each round maybe takes 10 minutes. So it's not a really long game.
Yeah.
And it's all about getting as many different sorts of goods. So you've got your rubies, your spices, your leathers, your teas, and just trying to get as much money and trading as possible before the other person does. And it's all done so quickly. It's really super easy to figure out and learn. Because, you know, sometimes card games and board games, you're like, I don't know how to play this. It's so complicated.
Yeah, yeah.
This one's really easy, and you get quite addicted to it. So I reckon if you or anybody else is going away for the next long weekend, check this game out. It's pretty easy.
Jaipur.
Jaipur.
Can you play it with a normal packet of cards?
No, it's specific cards.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Yeah. It doesn't cost that much.
Is it like a trading game? It kind of sounds like a trading game.
It
sounds like Catan, but card
sort
version.
Sort of, but you're never trading with the other person. You're just doing your own thing and trying to do it before they do it.
And is there four cards on the ground that you can't see?
There's five cards face up.
Yep.
And then the pile of cards.
Yeah.
And you're trying to get as many cards. So say for example, I've got two in my hand. You can have five cards. I've got two golds. If I get another gold, then I can sell that for a token. And then at the end of each round, you count up how many tokens you've got.
Yeah, neat.
It's easy and fast.
Have to check it out.
Yeah, it's good fun. I played it on the weekend, and it was really cool because I won.
Oh, there it is. Yeah.
Otherwise, it wouldn't be fun. Hey, speaking of winning, do you want to win a quiz?
A win a quiz?
Yeah. Well, I mean, do you want to partake in a quiz and hope that you win it?
Okay, yeah.
This one is called Elden Ring Boss Name or Pokemon Character. So Elden Ring is a video game that everybody in the whole world, apparently, except for me and you, play. And Pokemon is a card game slash video game that everybody in the world except for you and play. So you've got to try and figure out. I'm going to give you either or. Okay. If it's a Pokemon or an Elden Ring boss's name.
Okay, well, I've actually been playing Pokemon Ruby on Game Boy Advance recently.
You might end up knowing some of these.
We'll see how we go. Hopefully my knowledge doesn't let me down.
All right. Dunsparce, is that a Pokemon or an Elden Ring boss? Dunsparce.
I'm going to say that's an Elden Ring character.
It's Pokemon.
Really?
Yeah. Dunsparce. I was just going through every single Pokemon that was ever invented. So
yeah, right.
There's hundreds of them, as you know. And
these like the original Japanese ones. Dunsparce.
Yeah.
See, I'm not really like a names person. I'm a visual person. So I can look at a Pokemon and be like, oh, that's called. But like Dunsparce. It sounds like a leaf Pokemon. They suck.
All right. What about this one? Mudsdale. Pokemon? Or Elden Ring.
Mudsdale. See, I know there's a Mudkip, but I don't know the evolution thing of that. So I feel like that this could be a trick question, but I'm pretty sure that's a Pokemon.
It's Pokemon. Yeah, it's 100% Pokemon. Right. Yeah, I'm glad you stuck to that because I was like, oh, don't think it's a trick.
What's up next?
Mad Pumpkinhead. These are all names that were on either Elden Ring or Pokemon lists. You know those wiki lists?
Yeah.
Mad Pumpkinhead.
I feel like Pokemon names are more creative than that, so I'm going to go with Elden Ring character.
Yeah. I have no idea what a Mad Pumpkinhead looks like, but...
I could guess.
Yeah, a Mad Pumpkinhead. that's true.
Yeah, you kind of know what you're getting with that.
That's it. Haxorus. Haxorus.
Haxorus. I reckon that's an Elden Ring character as well.
It's Pokemon.
Wow.
Pokemon.
Not very good at this.
That's all right. It's all about either or. Flip. Get a coin and let me know if Fel Twins are Elden Ring bosses or Pokemons. Fel Twins, as in F-E-L-L.
That's got to be an Elden Ring character.
Yeah. They sound like they've probably got one body, two heads kind of thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
And lots of like disheveled robes or.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah.
I want to look at these now. I want to see what they look like. Yeah.
I have to Google them again. Final one. Bell Breaking Hunter. Elden Ring boss or a Pokemon.
Bell Breaking Hunter.
Yeah. Just wanders around looking for broken bells or wanders around looking for bells and then breaks them. I don't know.
Well, why not both, you know? I mean, well, I'm going to say Elden Ring's character.
Yeah, Elden Ring, absolutely. Yeah. Well done. I think you only got two wrong.
Yeah. I'm sad that they were Pokemon, though, because I wouldn't have minded if they were Elden Ring characters, but my Pokemon knowledge has let me down.
You'll just have to play more. That's all.
Oh, no, I don't. Yeah, I played it like on these old consoles. I played it for like a ridiculous amount of hours. Like my girlfriend was actually getting angry at me for playing it so much.
She wanted to take the batteries out.
Yeah, well, yeah, you can't actually take the batteries out. This but like it, I turned it on one day and it hadn't saved my progress, and I had like a level 45 Charizard, and I was really sad about it because it took me way too long to do it, and so. I just haven't mustered the courage to start again and talk to all the little characters that you have to talk to and just smash that A button.
skip.
I'll save that one for a rainy day, but yeah, one day I'll get back into it.
Well, thank you very much for coming on whilst Tom was away. It's been a lot of fun. And I don't know why we haven't had you on since the last time, which was probably a year ago.
Godzilla vs. Kong, I believe.
Ages, maybe more.
Also, that was a great movie. I love that. Like,
you should have another watch.
Another watch?
Yeah.
Yeah, I should watch it again. That, I took Kate to see it, and she was not impressed. But she was like, at the end, she was like, "It's just monsters and robots fighting." And I was like,
"Yes,
yes, that's exactly right." That like the. I hope you weren't expecting much more than that, because, you know.
You go in knowing that, don't you? They're
very, very cheeky, like the wordplay of the posters and stuff. It was like that instead of saying one will win, one will die, they said one will rise and one will fall. And it's like, oh, yeah, I see what you did there. Yeah. It was always going to happen because they needed to extend the universe in that way. But there's a new one coming out soon. And they're doing something quite cool. Sorry to waffle on,
that's
but they're like the Monsterverse, I believe it's called.
The Monsterverse. It's like the Metaverse, but cooler.
Well, it's like the Marvel Universe, but like with monsters. And it's like, we need something like that. Yeah. So I reckon eventually, I think I said this in the last podcast as well, but I reckon eventually they're going to mix in various kaiju Pacific Rim movies with...
are going to love that.
King Kong, Skull Island, Godzilla,
all
those things. And then they can start coming off with these like smaller little, you know, Monarch movies, like just of other monsters. And it's like, yes, I love monster movies.
You're on board. You're going to watch every single one.
Absolutely. I love a good monster movie where it's just a bit of carnage and some people running around and, you know.
Screaming.
even Godzilla, King of the Monsters. Mm-hmm. I wasn't expecting much of a storyline, but it actually had a storyline, and I was like,
"You slow clapped the movie."
I was impressed. Amazing. I saw it in the Philippines for $3.
Yeah.
It was fantastic, and I was like, "Oh yeah, I'll pay $3 for a movie because it's cheap as." And I went there, and I was like, "Wow, that was the best $3 I've ever spent. That was awesome.
Money well spent. $3 though to go and see a movie. That's amazing, especially a new one." All right, let's get out of here. I usually say on that note, Tom, thank you very much. And he says like a line from something. Do you want to I'll give it a go, see what comes into your head. And on that note, Nathaniel, thank you very much.
Hello there. That's all I can think of. It's sort of like an intro, but it's an outro today.
Yeah.
May the force be with you. That's cheesy. All right, bye.
It's perfect, bye.